ABC Radio Australia.
Chinese state-backed hacking group has been blamed for a series of sophisticated cyber attacks on Samoan government sites. Samoa's National Computer Emergency Response say the malicious cyber operations are a serious threat to the country and the region. So Brendan Dowling is Australia's Ambassador for Cyber Affairs and Critical Technology. Joins us for more on this story. With that, I say good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning and thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Ambassador, what more do we know about this attack?
Well, what we know is that cyber threats are getting worse in the Pacific. We can see that people, governments, businesses are all adopting digital technologies, but what that also brings for all the benefits is vulnerabilities. And we see malicious cyber actors taking advantage of those vulnerabilities across the Pacific. This particular actor, one we call APT-40, Advanced Persistent Threat Actor 40, that just means they're really good, really sophisticated, is one that we see highly active across the Pacific. Australia has been deeply concerned about these types of activities and targeting of Australian networks, and we've issued advisories about that last year. But now we see that Samoa has also identified this level of activity and has done the right thing and issued an alert and warning to all countries across the Pacific that this is something that they need to be looking out for.
And specifically to Samoa, what is the actual extent of the attack? I mean, is it clear how much damage this has caused?
Look, I'll leave the Samoan government to talk about the details of the incident that has affected them. But what I would say is that this particular group is pervasive. They're very capable. What we've seen in different attacks is extensive access to government networks, to business networks, maintaining that access over long periods of time, accessing sensitive data, exfiltrating sensitive data, often getting access to networks through relatively simple vulnerabilities, taking advantage of end-of-life devices that haven't been updated or upgraded or patched for a long time. And the appetite to access this information is very high. So they will access any sensitive data they can get their hands on, and where possible, they'll look to exfiltrate that data to use. So we know that their activities are pervasive and extensive.
Yeah, and I know you talked about vulnerabilities in the sense of, you know, accessing end-of-life data then, but how do they specifically, or are you aware how they carry out their attacks?
Well, to give you an example, we know that in a lot of businesses and government agencies, people have routers that connect your devices to the internet in your office. What we know is that in many places, these routers can be out of date. They haven't been patched, have the software patch applied for many years, which means that for cyber attackers, these are easy targets. So that's one way that they gain access. It might be that there is a software vulnerability that the attackers are aware of that's present on your system or your network, which they're accessing. So once they gain that access through a software vulnerability, they'll then move through the network, see if they can find passwords to get access to other parts of the system and gradually expand their access to the system. One thing I would say is that the good news is those types of vulnerabilities can be addressed. You should update your software. You should apply patches when they're issued by companies. You should watch out for this type of anomalous activity on your networks. And that makes it a lot harder for the attacker to succeed.
And at any point, do we know what information was taken or what are they necessarily after?
Look, I think with these type of cyber actors, and as you said, this is a group we've identified as working for the Ministry of State Security in China, I think their appetite is very broad. So they're looking for data and information that is valuable to the person, the business, or the government. So that would be information relating to decision-making. Who's making the decision? What's been thought about it? What documents have been written to inform decision-making? How do people go about making decisions? This might be on foreign policy issues, it might be on commercial issues, it might be on agricultural information, because that can be highly valuable. So I would say the appetite for any and all sensitive information is high. If that information is valuable to you, then it's valuable to the attacker as well.
Ambassador, you know, you talk about this particular group, ATP 40. It's been known that they're known as being backed by the Chinese government. I mean, is there more known about them?
What we do know is that they're very sophisticated. They operate out of China. Our security intelligence services, the Australian Signals Directorate, have assessed that they are connected and operate on behalf of the Ministry of State Security. So they're effectively out there looking for as much valuable information as they can. We know they've been active for several years in the region. We've identified activities in Australia going back a number of years. We also know that they're very active across many Pacific countries. So this is not an issue that is unique to Samoa or to Australia, which is why we think it's crucial to get this information out there to say, here's the activities that we've seen on our network. Samoa's done the same. Here's the activities they've seen on their network. And effectively, that operates as a warning to your neighbour. Be aware of this type of activity, and here's how you can protect yourself as well.
Just wondering, has this group ever been involved in any other similar sort of type of attacks across the Pacific region? I know you've alluded to a little bit, but anything specific?
So we have talked publicly about attacks on some Australian government agencies. We haven't said specifically what agencies they were, but we have noted through our Cybersecurity Centre that the group has targeted a few different federal government agencies in Australia, have maintained persistent access. That means they've been stayed on networks for years at a time and have exfiltrated sensitive data from those networks. We also know that they are very active and very interested in what Pacific Island governments, what information they have. So we know they're active in the region. We think it's a really positive and important step that Samoa has called out this activity and raised this type of warning. And in time, we might see other governments also issue these types of alerts to draw attention to these activities. But I would say This is everywhere. This is a threat that is relevant to everyone in the Pacific.
Ambassador, are you aware, though, that if there is any help that Australia has provided, though, to Samoa to help deal with these cyber attacks?
So we have a really great partnership with Samoa in cybersecurity. There's an excellent team working out of RPR of Samoan government representatives. They have a really well-qualified, well-trained and professional computer emergency response team that looks at threats. We've worked with that team over many years now to help where we can build up capability. Samoa asked us for support when they ran the CHOGM meeting last year, which was effectively surge support to sit beside the professionals in RPR and to help them make sure that event was successful and protected from any malicious cyber activity. And it was a tremendous success. What we're doing now is just continuing that partnership. And I'd say to any country in the Pacific, cybersecurity is a real issue. It is affecting families, communities, businesses, governments. The Australian government is really active in how we work with different Pacific governments to build up their capability. When there's incidents, we fly people around the Pacific to provide that surge support and recover from cyber attacks. But we're also doing a lot in terms of training, in terms of upgrading equipment, ensuring the Pacific has access to the best technology in the world. And it's a partnership. We get tremendous information sharing from partners across the Pacific when they see cyber attacks. And I think we really treat this as a community. If you saw your house getting robbed, you'd tell your neighbour about it and you'd warn them about it. And I think that's how the Pacific operates in cybersecurity.
Yeah, that's a really good explanation on that. Ambassador, look, I have to ask, though, despite all the protections and things that we can put in place, are we still, though, likely to see more of these types of incidences coming up this year?
Unfortunately, yes. I think, as I said, everyone is adopting digital technologies in their personal lives, governments, businesses, and generally that's fantastic. The opportunities that it brings, we all know, are tremendous for economics, work, social connections, but unfortunately they are being taken advantage of by threat actors who might reach in from China, who might reach in from Russia. There is no borders in cyberspace. We are seeing cybercrime getting worse in the region. We're seeing more attacks on schools, hospitals, the most vulnerable in all our countries. And we are seeing nation states using cyber as a means of information gathering, coercion, the potential to disrupt essential services. So I am worried that in coming months and coming years, we'll see more cyber attacks of this nature, more disruptive attacks. I would say there is something we can all do about that, though. We can apply the patches. We can be careful about malicious emails that we receive and spam that we receive. We can apply multi-factor authentication to our banking and other accounts. And we can tackle this together. So we all need support when an incident happens. We all need support to prepare for incidents. And the Australian government is out there working in partnership with specific countries to apply that support. I would actually just observe that when Samoa hosted CHOGM, which was such a successful event, it wasn't just Australia who provided cybersecurity surge support. There was actually Pacific Island nations who provided support. So it was a cross-Pacific team that worked together on that type of event, which I think shows that we can actually do something together to protect ourselves.
Absolutely. Look, well, it just talks of more awareness, being more vigilant. Ambassador, we appreciate you bringing a little bit more insight into this conversation. So thank you again for your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. That is Brendan Dowling, Australia's Ambassador for Cyber Affairs and Critical Technology here on Pacific Beat.